Thank you, Brother Ernie. Before I get started this morning, I missed doing so a few moments ago when I made my announcements and stuff, but the folks at Wrigley Heights Baptist Church wanted me to say a special thank you to the church for use of the facilities yesterday for the family of Gary Holland, and they were very appreciative of all the acts of kindness and love that you showed and allowed them to do their part in paying their respects to Gary. And you certainly did a great job, and I appreciate it very much, and I know the family does as well. So you be continuing to lift them up in your prayers. If you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Genesis 19. Right in the very beginning, Genesis 19. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, looking back to your old ways while trying to move forward with God. Looking back to your old ways while trying to move forward with God. Two main characters, one we're going to talk about, one just previous to this is Abraham. And Abraham, in his dealings, had just got through with a confrontation with the Lord. And now the attention turns to his nephew, Lot. And the Lord is trying to prepare these two men to move forward with his agenda that he has for the Jewish nation. Abraham to be the father of this nation. And he told Abraham that he'd make him the father of a great nation. And on numerous occasions, he described that by saying he'd be as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky and all the things that he used to describe the multitude of folks that would make up that Jewish nation and stuff in their hearts and their lives. But as Abraham moved forward, took Lot, his nephew, with him and went into the land of Canaan, down through here to go where God wanted him to go and do what he wanted him to do and stuff. You know, the old devil's going to show up. He's going to show his ugly face and things. First thing that happened in the previous chapter and leading up to what we're going to share about this morning was the fact that God appears to Abraham. If you look back to the previous chapter, chapter 18 and verse 1, there you would find in there that the scripture says that three strangers appeared to Abraham and unto Lot. They had a conversation with Abraham concerning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Very wicked place. A place where some of the most horrible, undescribable sin acts of sexuality and all other sorts was there. The scripture says that their sins was very grievous. It hurt God. God couldn't move his children, the Jews, forward to where he wanted them to go and become the nation he wanted them to become with all this sin running rapid right before his eyes. So he tells Abraham exactly what he's about to do with that sinful cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of other little cities round about it would be involved and be a part of it, but he specifically spells out Sodom and Gomorrah. And immediately when Abraham hears the Lord tells him what he's going to do in destroying, raining down fire and brimstone and wiping out Sodom and Gomorrah from the face of the earth. And as he's sharing in this with him, Abraham said, "Well, Lord, let me ask you a question." I believe the word the scripture uses is perhaps. And it says, "Perhaps I could find 50 souls that's not bowed a knee to this sin and wrong in Sodom and Gomorrah." The Lord said, "Okay, I'll go along with that. You find me 50, and I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah." Well, Lord, well, let me ask you again. What if perhaps I could just find 45? What would you do then? He said, "I'd spare them for 45. 40, 30, 20, right on down to 10. He told him, "Yeah, I'll do that for 10. But isn't it a shame to know that they couldn't even find 10 righteous people in all the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and things, and all the outlying towns and places and stuff? The Lord told him, said, "You better get your stuff together. And you better get your family and prepare to get out of this place, because I'm fixing to destroy, wipe it out." I want to tell you something. If you were to fast forward from that day to now, to where we are, what's God going to do to this whole world of ours one day?
Same thing.
He's going to wipe it out. How he chooses to do, that's God's business. It ain't mine to try to tell him what to do or how to do and stuff, but it is mine to listen to what he has to say and to try to obey him and our hearts and our lives. So let's look to the scripture this morning that I wanted to share. Chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening." When they went to see the Lord this morning, and the Lord went to see Abraham, they were three of them. But when he sends his angels over to Sodom, there's only two. The Lord's done his part by warning Abraham, because he promised through Abraham, not through Lot, but through Abraham, he'd make him the father of a great nation. But Lot is right down in the middle of all that sin and wrong. He's adhering to what they're doing down there, and his family's involved in it. And it said there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. All right? The gate of the city, that's the courthouse as we know it today. And people would gather there, and that's where a lot of business deals was taking place and things and all. And Lot was a principal player in the network of the business of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he's sitting there at his table doing his business he's doing, and he looks up the road coming into the city there, and he sees these two angels coming toward him. The scripture says he arose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we'll just abide in the streets all night." Now, Lot knew he couldn't let them abide in the street, because the sin and wrong of the people inside the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was going to overtake them. Immediately, the first thing he saw when he realized these were two special messengers of God was to know, I can't let them get in here with all this sin and wrong. These men will rape and tear them apart, and it's just so bad. Come go home with me. I'll give you water to wash your feet. I'll give you food for your belly. I'll give you a place to sleep, and early in the morning you can get out of here. What was Lot wanting to do? Deal with them, but get rid of them, because he knew the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was what? Wicked in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he baked them bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, listen to this. The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot. Whoo, there's fresh meat in town. Two guys just showed up. Lot's got them shut up in his house down there. Let's go down there and let's get them and let's enjoy these two strangers that's come our way. The scripture says that the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, he's willing to make a bargain with them, with something very precious to him. He said, I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore they came, they are under the shadow of my roof. They're my responsibility. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down his door. They said, look, who does he think he is? He's a soldier, that's a stranger in town. He come in and he's worked his way up. He's got him a position there at the gate, and he's running things around Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to tell us we can't have these men. We're going to have nothing to do with it. He said, we're going to break down the door. But the men, in verse 10, put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. They were about to assassinate Lot for refusing to let them have these two angels of the Lord that were inside his house. And these two angels had to reach outside the door, get a hold of Lot, and pull him away from that crowd. And the scripture says that they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Way God calmed that storm was blinding these wicked individuals and saving Lot and his two angels. Verse 12 says, the men said unto them, to Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law? your sons, your daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. God was very gracious. He is very merciful to Abraham to allow him the opportunity to take Lot and all of their kinfolk and get out of town before he drops the bomb to destroy all of Sodom and Gomorrah in their hearts. Bring them out of this place. Verse 13 says, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out, and he spake unto his son-in-laws. Pay close attention to this now. I want you to hear what happened. He said, he spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But it seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. If you look that up in the Greek and the Hebrew, the way it's used, they laughed at Lot, at Abraham and Lot, for telling them to get your wives, get all your possessions, get out of here. The Lord will destroy this city. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Who did he leave out that time? Son-in-laws, sons. Why? They refused. He only kept Lot's two daughters. And the scripture says he told him to take your wife and your two daughters, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Just guilty by association, being in the wrong place, the wrong, call it what you want to. God is being gracious here to Lot. Verse 16 says, while he lingered, there's a lot of folks lingering with their eternity today, you know what? Scripture says, while they lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to literally drag Lot and his wife and his daughters out of Sodom and Gomorrah, out into a place of safety, away from where the destruction is going to take place that God's going to place on his bearings. Now listen to this. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass. What did I tell you that meant? It happened that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Get out of town. Go. Seek a place of safety. Get up into the mountains and stuff. Lot being hard-headed, he wanted it his way. Listen to what he said in verse 18. Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. How do you tell God no? And a lot of people doing that today. God's wanting them to do this, do that, be that, whatever. No, you got the wrong fella now. I just can't teach. You know, I don't do this and I don't do that. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, it's all kind of things we tell the Lord no about. Verse 19 says, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. At least Lot had enough sense to realize that when that angel drug him and his wife and their daughters out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and got them in safety down there. He said, you showed unto me in saving my life, and I can't escape into the mountains, lest some evil would take me and I die. He's scared to go up into the mountains with his family into a strange place. But here's what he was willing to do. He said, behold, now this city is near unto thee, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. You let me go down there to Zoar. That's just a little old spot in the road. About like Bexley or Bendale or someplace like that. Someplace where he couldn't be used and stuff. You know, a lot of folks like to hide their skills and abilities. And he said, let me go down there to that little city, little town there, and my soul shall live. Verse 21 said, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. You chose a wise place. I didn't intend to destroy Zoar. Verse 22, the Lord telling him to haste thee and escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Till you get out of here, Lot, till you get your family and get gone, I can't do what the Lord has sent me to do. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means in the Greek Hebrew, that is little. Just a little spot in the road. You know, sometimes you and I think, you know, well, we're just a nobody trying to be somebody in this old world that we are part of around about us and things. But he said here, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into, he got there just in the nick of time. Because the Lord said, when the sun come up, what was he going to do? Going to destroy that place. And the scripture says, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Out of heaven. Did you notice something about that? He didn't rain fire and brimstone out of hell. He rained it out of heaven. This judgment came from God. There's going to be another judgment one of these days, and I don't believe it's going to be very far away, folks, where the Lord's going to again judge this great land of ours. And it's so sad to see how many people have looked backwards away from that which God has for them in their hearts and in their lives. Now notice what takes place here. The Lord has rained down Sodom and fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 25 says, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain. We talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was dealing with the whole nation of people here. He said, and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. He not only rained down fire and brimstone and destroyed the cities and stuff, but all the vegetation, all the gardens, all the food and stuff, everything was destroyed. And then verse 26 says that terrifying word, but. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God said what? Don't look back. She couldn't take it. Oh, she had so many memories down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, those places around her. Lot was a somebody to all those nobodies out there. She was a wife of a real leader there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. She had the finest of everything. She had the admiration of a people around about her, all that. And they had gotten her by the arm and drug her out of the city. And what did she want to do? Didn't have enough spirituality about her to realize God was being merciful and gracious to her. What'd she do? The scripture says, here they are, they headed in this direction, going away from all that sin and wrong and sorrow that they're doing out there. And she just I gotta have one more glimpse. Oh my God. Look at all that fire and brimstone. Look at all of the destruction that's taking place down there in the city. And there, and when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. What did the Lord tell us? He gave us a warning. He said, a man that puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is what? Not fit for the kingdom of heaven, you know? God has been merciful. He's been gracious to us and our hearts and our lives. And getting us from where we are to where we are, I call it getting old Larry over fool's heel. It took him a while. He didn't get me on the first or second or third round. He had to stay after me till he finally got my attention and I yielded to him. Listen to what happens in the closeout here. It said in verse 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He got up and he went out. He found him a place there in Zor. He was unfamiliar with it, didn't know anything about it. But he looked around and he found a place where he could stand before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. All he saw was what? Cities destroyed, land no longer of any value, no good concerning that. And what was happening to there, you could say, well, you know, that was a lot of waste and stuff. Who are we to question God? Listen to what he said, and I'll close. It came to pass, what does that mean? Happened it when God destroyed the cities of the plain. Who destroyed it? God destroyed it, cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which that Lot dwelled. God remembered Abraham. God remembered Lot. And God was what? Gracious to them. Why? Because he had a plan for them. He had a purpose. You know? We can't play both sides of the fence, folks. We can't look back to our old ways and our old designs and serve God on this hand. We got to give God first place in our hearts and our lives. There's so much hit and miss religion today with so many people that it's unbelievable. You know? Well, nothing else is going on. I'll do this or I'll do maybe this or maybe. And several years back, when it was evident that Sunday school was on a downhill slide, we was trying to rebirth it and talking with a lot of folks back then, you know. They said, Brother Larry, I don't mind. I'll team with somebody. That used to make me so mad. You know what they were saying is, I got to have somebody to back me up. Because if I'm off to the beach or to the mountains or the wherevers, you know, I don't want to be obligated to having a Sunday school class that ain't got a teacher. You know, I'll team with somebody and they'll cover when I ain't here and whatever, you know. What are you saying? God, if I ain't got nothing else to do, you can use me that Sunday. But right now what? I got a whole lot of stuff I got to get done in my life. God doing what? Playing second fiddle. He didn't play second fiddle with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he ain't going to play second fiddle with this whole world of ours. We don't do what he intended for us to do in our hearts and our lives. Sodom and Gomorrah and all that area around about it, he destroyed. Would you pray with me? God, I know that you're being very patient to this world of ours. If you were to describe that today as you did the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, you said that the sin of the people was very grievous in your eyes. Oh, how would you describe this world of ours today? How we must have grieved you in our lives by trying to play the best of both worlds. Forgive us, Lord. I pray as you search the hearts and lives of each one that is here today. They hear because you want them to hear the word that you've laid upon our heart. Now, will they take that word and apply it to their lives and let you be the Lord of their lives? It's time of invitation. If one knows you not as their Lord and Savior, I would they come, let Brother Larry pray with you about it. Maybe they've come and they've tried to play both sides of the fence. It won't work. You want to just come and kneel and pray and ask God to help you be the individual that he has called you out to be, doing his will. Whatever the need might be, as we sing a verse of invitation in a moment, Lord, stir hearts and help those hearts to be faithful to do your will. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie. Softly and